Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He shall not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee shall not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Open the Bible, see him there. Open the Bible, don't despair. Open the Bible, see his face. Open the Bible, trust his grace. Open the Bible, look clearly above. Open the Bible, and share God's love. Well, what a wonderful joy it is to be back at Faith Baptist Church. We were with you 3 years ago in your mission conference, and we've looked forward to being back ever since. And before we leave, I'm looking forward to being back again. Did you think the pastor got that message? Yeah, I think he did. Okay. Well, let me say this. When Dr. J. Frank Norris started the old Fundamental Baptist Bible Institute in Fort Worth, Texas, in 1939, he would have never dreamed that 70 years later, there would be a young man from China standing on this platform to give his testimony. Dr. Norris started the old Fundamental Baptist Bible Institute for the express purpose of training missionaries to go to China. Wow! The first two graduates of that institute were Oscar Wells and John Birch. They both went to China as missionaries. John Birch was killed by the communists. Oscar Wells was imprisoned by the communists. While he was in prison, a daughter was born to him by the name of Shannon. She became later Shannon Lucid, the astronaut that went to the Mir Russian station and stayed 6 weeks longer than they had planned. Dr. Wells invited my wife and me to be special guests at the launching of the Atlantis when she was sent off into space. On the way home to the hotel from the launching, and by the way, the launching was an earth-shaking experience. We were as close as you could get just across the river. The alligators jumped up out of the river. The fish jumped up out of the river. The birds flew out of the trees. We sat down and ducked a little bit. It was a marvelous experience. But Dr. Wells said to me, "How would you like to be the first preacher in space?" And I thought, well, I thought I was already in space, But he said, "I tell you what, Raymond, if you will preach a sermon dedicated to the astronauts, a sermon on space, I will see to it that that message gets to the Mir station and my daughter will play it for the Russian astronauts." So I got busy and I preached a message with the text in Isaiah, He sitteth upon the circle of the earth. One of the things that I said in that message, in the introduction, was that one day when she was just a little girl, she always wanted to be an astronaut, she said to her daddy, "Daddy, one day I'll be closer to God than you are." And sure enough, she was. She's not now because He's in heaven. But I'm saying all that to say this. Dr. Norris, as I said, started that institute primarily. He had a great love for China, to send missionaries, trained missionaries for China. Mao Zedong put 300 million radio sets in the homes of his people to get the communist doctrine across to them. When the war broke out, naturally the missionaries had to return home. Dr. Norris secured Oscar Wilde's release from prison, brought him home. But Oscar Wilde loved the Chinese people so dearly that for more than 50 years, he broadcast the gospel from his home in Bethany, Oklahoma, to the Chinese mainland through Taiwan for over 50 years. Not too many years ago, an independent organization took a survey to find out how many believers were in China. They came up with the astounding figure of 65 million people. And 35 million of them said, "We heard it on the radio." Wow! What a story that is. 35 million people who heard the gospel on the radio. Somewhere in the background of Timothy, somebody heard the gospel and they were saved. And here he is tonight as a representative of Beijing, China, and all the China people. Isn't that a wonderful thing? I'm so glad we're part of this mission conference. And Timothy, I'm so glad you were here. Tell him I said that and underline it and capitalize it. Yeah. I would speak it in Chinese, but I got a sore throat, so I don't speak Chinese when I have a sore throat. Now then, open your Bible. Oh, by the way, did I tell you when we open the Bible opens the mind of God? Let's see what God's thinking about in the book of Acts, believe it or not, chapter 1 and verse number 8. Acts chapter 1, verse number 8. While you're finding your place in the book of Acts, I should remind you, as sure as night follows day and day follows night, God still lives and the Bible is right. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. All flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, the flower thereof falleth away, but the Word of the Lord endureth forever. For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Forever, O Lord, Thy Word is settled in heaven. And I'm glad it's settled right here on earth, in the book that we call the Bible, infallible, inspired, inerrant, impeccable, indestructible, powerful and precious and perfect and pure, and pontifical, and preserved for us in our language in the King James Version. I'm going to read from this blessed book, Acts chapter 1, verse number 8, after we pause in a moment of prayer. May we pray together, please. And now, Heavenly Father, I pray that with our hearts and minds turned toward Thee, and our Bibles open, may the Holy Spirit speak to us about the Jerusalem right here, in this community, and then spreading abroad through America and through the neighboring nations around the world. We know that there is no limit to the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I thank you for this young man who has stood here on this platform to give us a testimony of the Chinese and the mission and the ministry and the salvation and the millions of people that have come to know Christ through Oscar Wilde's radio ministry. And they have won others, and they have won others, and the gospel is spread across the communist lands. And I thank you tonight that the star of Bethlehem outshines the star of Beijing. I'm glad tonight that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And so I pray that you would help us in this hour to know what you want us to do in this community and in the regions beyond through this missionary conference. I pray in Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake and with thanksgiving. Amen. Acts chapter 1, verse number 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. A preacher went to his Wednesday night service only to discover there was nobody there. Not one single soul showed up. It was the custom in that church when they had a death in the church family that the pastor would ring the church bell. So the pastor rang the church bell and a dozen church members came running in. Pastor, pastor, who's dead? The church, the pastor answered as he kept ringing the bell. This is a sad commentary on many churches in America today. And by the way, they are not all in the apostate movement. Some of our own independent, fundamental, Bible-believing, red-letter edition, Jesus-only churches are as dead and stiff as a corpse. Now, I know somebody would say, but now, preacher, you have to understand, we don't want to get too excited about this thing. We don't want people to think that we're fanatics. Well, I agree with the pastor who said he'd rather restrain a fanatic than raise a corpse any day. William Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army, said, and I quote, "I am of the opinion that the chief dangers which will confront the church of this century will be," and he listed five things: religion without the Holy Spirit, Christianity without Christ, forgiveness without repentance, salvation without regeneration, and politics without God. You could certainly underline that one tonight. Hello? Folks, help me out. They left me up here by myself. You can see I'm just all alone. I want to underscore, however, the danger of religion without the Holy Spirit. When the Apostle Paul was led of the Holy Spirit to describe, far from his time, close to our time, the conditions that would exist prior to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, he wrote in 2 Timothy chapter 3, 5, "having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away." The Spirit of God came into the world to usher in a new age. When the Spirit comes, He convicts, He convinces, and He converts. John 16:18, "He will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they believe not on me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you shall see me no more. Of judgment because the prince of this world is judged." Ladies and gentlemen, that's in the book. And God wrote the book. Those words came from the lips of our Savior. He spoke them. That's what He said. When the Spirit comes, there is spiritual action. There's life and liberty and joy and rejoicing and peace and happiness, enjoyment, contentment, and yes, excitement. In my opinion, the curse of this age, ladies and gentlemen, is the lack of spiritual excitement in our churches. You know, we get excited when Aunt Sally's cat gets run over by a car. or little Johnny's bicycle is stolen, or Susie's dog is lost, or our favorite football team wins its game, we can get terribly excited. But at church, we become wallflowers and deadpans. We all of a sudden get tongue-tied or get the lockjaw. Trace the footsteps of Jesus. Wherever Jesus went, there was excitement. Go back to the day of Pentecost. The Christians were so excited on that day that people thought they were drunk. Anybody looking into an average church today would never accuse the members of being drunk. Asleep, maybe, but never drunk. Vance Havana said, and I quote, "We're so subnormal, if we ever got back to normal, people would think we were abnormal." Many churches are as cold and lifeless as an iceberg in a graveyard. And you want to know the reason there are icicles hanging from the ceilings of some churches? There are polar bears in the pews. The Holy Spirit of God acts where a church where the gospel is preached. He acts through people who have accepted Jesus Christ as personal Savior, repented of their sins, and surrendered their lives to the will of God. The book of Acts, as you know, is the story of the acts of the Holy Spirit. It is told in everyday, ordinary language. It is the story of ordinary people who were given extraordinary power to complete an extraordinary task. The task of evangelizing the world. And ladies and gentlemen, that's our business. Our only business. And it begins at home. It begins right here. It begins at Jerusalem. It begins with these testimonies that you've just heard. It's the story of the church on fire for God. And that's what my message is all about tonight. That's my introduction. I'm ready to start preaching. But not to worry, it's only 7:05 in Texas. I've entitled the message, "The Church Aflame." The early church spread all over Jerusalem because the members were willing to go. Now watch this. They were willing to go, not even knowing to which house they would go. But when they got there, the Holy Spirit told them that was the right place. I read about a man who walked out on his porch on a warm summer morning and found a little 4-year-old boy just weeping uncontrollably, sobbing his heart out. He asked the boy who he was and where he lived. The only thing the little boy could say was, "Tony. Name is Tony." The man picked him up, held him in his arms and asked, "Tony, how are we going to find your house?" The little boy said, "Mister, you just start walking, and I'll tell you when we get there." Could I tell you tonight, my friend, if you'll just start walking over the streets of Avon, Indiana, God will tell you by the Holy Spirit when you get there. It'll be the right place. In fact, you can't go to the wrong place with the gospel because Jesus said, "Preach the gospel to every creature." The church spread from Jerusalem to Antioch to Rome, and ultimately to our shores because the power of the Holy Spirit worked through people who were missionary-minded. The story of the church in the book of Acts is the story of persecutions and prisons, of demonstrations and dedication, of riots and revivals. The church has survived into the 21st century, ladies and gentlemen, only because it has been aflame with the power of the Holy Spirit. It hasn't been all of its festivities and all of its finances and all of its getting together. It's been because the Holy Spirit set the church aflame by His own power, and the church will continue to survive only as you reach beyond where you are tonight. Faith Baptist Church, listen carefully. Faith Baptist Church will survive only as you members give witness to your faith. Only as you give witness to the saving grace of God. Only as you give witness to the regenerating power of Jesus Christ. You see, a witness is one who tells what he knows. And you know Jesus Christ. So you can tell others about him. The entire history of the church is summed up in one word, and that word is witness. You see, God has not retained us as lawyers. He's empowered us as witnesses. Remember the text? Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. Both underscore that word. It means that all together at the same time. In other words, at the same time you are witnessing in your Jerusalem, your missionaries are witnessing across the nation and around the world. Missions is the heartbeat of God. God only had one son, and he became a missionary. I want you to turn with me to your concordance. Do you have a concordance in your Bible? Just turn back there to the concordance. Now, if you've got the same one that I have, it's divinely inspired, quote unquote. So you're going to find the same words that I'm going to give you. Go to the words that begin with W. Over to the alphabet, you know, like A, B, C, D, E, F, all the way to W. And when you get to W, look down until you find the word Word, W-O-R-D. Is that in your concordance? How many of you have that in your concordance? Lift your hand if you do. Oh, most of you do. Most of you don't have a concordance, or you haven't found it yet. It's in the back of the book. The next word you come to is the word work, W-O-R-K. The next word is the word workman, W-O-R-K-M-A-N. And the next word is world, W-O-R-L-D. Now, looking at those words, four words, what do you see between word and world? You see the work of the workman. That is to say, the Word can never be gotten to the world until the workman does the work of witnessing. That'll preach. That's almost inspired. Pretty close. The time has come, ladies and gentlemen, when we must stop complaining about how big the task is, how difficult the task is, and start remembering the power that the Holy Spirit has given us to do it. Jesus said, 50% of the power. No. 75% of the power? No. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. That means, ladies and gentlemen, that the arsenal of heaven and earth is at your command and at your disposal. All you have to do is arm yourself and start firing. It's there. The Bible is not written in Madison Avenue style because the Holy Spirit did not and does not operate or use the Madison Avenue approach. The gospel of Jesus Christ is a simple story told by simple people in a simple way. Here it is. One dark, dismal, dreadful day, an angry mob arrested the sinless Son of God and led him away to a place called Calvary, the place of the skull. And the Bible says, when they were come to that place, there they crucified him. And I need to tell you that he died for the sins of the whole world. So says John in 1 John chapter 2. My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, even Jesus the righteous. And He is the propitiation or the mercy seat for our sins, and not for ours only, but for all also, but for the sins of the whole world. I'm here to tell you tonight, ladies and gentlemen, they crucified Him tearfully. They wrapped His broken, bruised, bleeding body in the grave clothes. Tenderly they laid Him in Joseph's new-made tomb. Tenaciously they rolled the Roman stone to the head of the tomb to block the tomb. But I need to tell you that the stone on the outside of the tomb was not to be compared with a rock on the inside of the tomb. William Jennings Bryan, brilliant lawyer and 3 times candidate for presidency of the United States of America, said at the Scopes trial, or the monkey trial, in Dayton, Tennessee in 1925, and I quote, "While we're teaching our children the age of rocks, we should tell them about the rock of ages. Rock of ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy wounded side, which flowed, be of sin a double cure. Save from wrath and make me pure. Could my tears forever flow? Could my zeal no longer know? These for sin cannot atone. Thou must save, and thou alone. In my hand no price I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. While I draw this fleeting breath, when mine eyes shall close in death, when I rise to worlds unknown and behold thee on thy throne, rock of ages, cleft for me." Yeah, they crucified him. They buried him. But on the morning of the third day, he rose again. God knows the reality of the grave. He buried his own son. But he knew that resurrection was just 3 days away. This is the Gospel 101. How that Jesus Christ died for our sins. And that he was buried. And that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Died according to the Scriptures. Was buried and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Can I tell you, it's not our business to push a program. It's our business to preach a person. We can learn a great lesson from Philip, who was instructed of the Holy Spirit to go and join himself to a chariot where the Ethiopian eunuch was driving from Jerusalem down to the Gaza Strip. He'd been up there worshiping. And he was reading the Bible. He was reading from Isaiah chapter 53. And he was reading at the place in the 53rd chapter where it talks about his being led as a lamb to the slaughter, a sheep before her shearers is dumb. So Philip, joining him, asked him, "Do you understand what you're reading? How can I," he said, "except some man show me?" Can I tell you tonight, people are not going to understand unless you show them. Showing them from the Word of God. And then the eunuch asked, "Of whom did he write, the prophet write this? Of himself or of some other person?" And that was Philip's opportunity. The Bible says, Philip opened his mouth and beginning at the same Scripture, preached unto him Christ. They hadn't gone very far. And the Ethiopian looked out and said, "Hey, here's some water. What does hinder me to be baptized?" Have you been baptized, by the way? If you haven't, you are denying the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. "What doth hinder me to be baptized?" And Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And out of the mouth of that new convert came 10 of the most powerful words ever spoken in any language. "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Wow! What a powerful proclamation, confession that was. It is not our business to socialize, it's our business to agonize. It is not our business, ladies and gentlemen, just to gather together and have a good time. It's our business to witness for Christ. Let me tell you that in the year 2006, 6.7 million Jehovah's Witnesses spent 1.3 billion hours from door to door spreading their poisonous venom. When's the last time you went to a door? Can I tell you that from 1990 to 2004, that the religion of Islam increased, now watch this, increased in the United States, 109% in 1 year. No, in 4 years, 6 years. 109%, while Christianity, all the Christian denominations, increased 5%. Unless something drastic takes place, your children and grandchildren will live under a society that's dominated by fanatical Islamics. Right here in your own backyard, the Islamic Society of North America has said they are going to distribute, now listen to this, 100,000 free copies of the Quran to the leaders of government on the national, state, and local level. We better get busy in our Jerusalem before the infidels and the pagans take it over. May God help us. When Faith Baptist Church, listen to this now, becomes inflamed by the Holy Spirit, you can do in Avon what they did in Jerusalem. Did I hear someone say, but times are different? Well, let me ask you, has God changed? Has Jesus changed? Has the Holy Spirit changed? The mission has not changed. The message has not changed. The mandate has not changed. The marching orders have not changed. But times are different. You know what? When Peter entered the house of Cornelius, the Gentile, he could have stood there and said, you know, folks, I'm not expecting much to happen around here. Times are so different. Now, back on the day of Pentecost, we had 3,000 people saved. But you know what? I don't believe anything like that will ever happen again. No. He stood up boldly and preached the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And you know what? That opened the door to the Gentile world so you, as Gentiles, could hear the gospel and millions of others that have been saved among the Gentiles because Peter didn't say, well, it's all different, man. Times have changed. The gospel is the same. You must consider Faith Baptist Church as a missionary enterprise. And every member a missionary. When you get that perspective, ladies and gentlemen, you'll have a revival of missions. Someone says, but I need to be trained. I need to learn the methods. I need to be shown how. Time out. You don't have to tell a fire how to burn. You don't have to tell a light how to shine. Ladies and gentlemen, we're on fire. Let's burn for Christ. We're lights. Let's shine for Christ. I don't read anywhere in the New Testament. Now, please don't misunderstand me. I'm 29 years old. I've never been misunderstood. I don't want to start tonight. I don't read anywhere in the New Testament where the members of that church ever attended a soul-winning class. I don't have anything against soul-winning classes. Please don't misunderstand me. But I wonder if sometimes we don't spend more time mending the nets than we do catching fish. They simply let the Holy Spirit flow through them as they witness to the saving grace of Jesus Christ. When a house is on fire, ladies and gentlemen, there's no time to study the firefighting equipment. Just jump in and fight the fire. I saw on television, on the news, just the other day, a 4-year-old was in a burning building. The firemen put their ladders up, and while they were putting their ladders up to the top window of that building, a fellow ran up, took his coat off, got on the fire escape, climbed the fire escape, went in the window, rescued the little 4-year-old and brought him out. When someone is drowning, there's no time to take life-saving lessons. I saw another story on television. It was about a woman who had driven her car off of a ravine and down into some water. A man just instinctively took his coat off, jumped in, rescued a mother and had 2 children. Suppose he said, well, I think I ought to call 911. No. He just jumped in. Listen, folks, you don't have time to call 911 in this Christian business I'm talking about. You better jump in. You better dive in and start rescuing people from hell. I read about one man who went to the annual conference, and this is the report he gave. Last year, we had no transfer of letters. We had no baptisms. We had no funerals. I guess you'd say we're holding our own. Well, ladies and gentlemen, God doesn't want Faith Baptist Church to hold your own. He wants you to reach out, get some new people. God doesn't want you to maintain the status quo. He wants you to advance, enlarge, expand, win souls, build churches, send missionaries around the world. Can I tell you that God is not satisfied with empty classrooms? And Jesus must be embarrassed by half-filled pews. Why did He say in Luke 14:23, "Go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that My house may be filled"? Consider the pattern in the early church. Are you with me? First thing they did, they ordered a large supply of soul-winning manuals. And then they sent out and got an expert to come in and teach. No. The first thing they did was to pray. And here's the pattern. Number one, the prayers went up. Acts 1:14. They continued steadfastly. They continued in fellowship and breaking of bread, and they continued in prayers. That's where it started, with prayer. Second step, the power came down. Acts 2:4. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Step number three, the preaching went out. The preaching went on. Acts 2:14, Peter stood up. Remember, in the second chapter of Acts, and preached that great sermon on Pentecost. Number four, the people went out. Acts 5:42, daily in the temple, every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Step number five, the prospects came in. Acts 6:1, the number of the disciples multiplied. Step number six, the persecution broke loose. And the pattern started all over again. The prayers went up, the power came down, the preaching went on. People, you know where the breakdown is? People going out. For you see, when people stop going out, the prospects stop coming in. I heard about the lady over in the state of Michigan a few years ago. Her church was involved in a revival meeting. The pastor asked every member who would to take a card with a name and address on it and go visit that person every day that week during the revival until they came. So she did not have a car. So she hired a taxi. She went to the address. She said to the taxi driver, "Now you wait for me. I'll only be a few minutes." She went in. She witnessed to these people. She came back out halfway happy because she thought they'd come that night. But sure enough, Monday night showed up and they didn't. She hired the same taxi on Tuesday with the same driver, went to the same address, talked to them about the same thing. And she just knew Tuesday night. But no, Tuesday night they didn't show up. Wednesday she hired the same taxi with the same driver, went to the same address, talked to the same people about the same thing. Wednesday came, they didn't show up. On Thursday, she hired the same taxi with the same driver, went to the same address, talked to the same people about the same thing. And she just knew, because they had given all kinds of reasons why, but boy, Thursday night this was going to be it. They would be there. But guess what? They did not show up. On Friday, she did the same thing. Same taxi, same driver, same house, same people. Talked about to them about the same thing. And Friday night, the taxi driver got saved. You know, when the persecution broke out in the church of Jerusalem, they thought it was a major disaster. But you know what it proved to be the means of spreading the gospel? According to the record in Acts 8:4, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the gospel. They went out in sorrow and started new churches in joy. A Russian communist who had been indoctrinated in the philosophy of Karl Marx had some friends in Scotland. He went to visit those friends. They were Christians. They asked him to go to church with them. And he did. And after several nights in church and hearing the gospel message, one night he just blurted out, "You people have got it! If only you knew you had it! And if only you'd get out and share it!" Can I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, you've got it. If you only knew you had it! And if you only got out and shared it. I'll tell you this, until you and I get on fire for God, the church will never be aflame. And until the church is inflamed by the Holy Spirit, you'll never have a revival of missions. Never. Never. And the only way to get on fire for God is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And the only way to be filled with the Holy Spirit is to be emptied of self. Self dies hard. But Jesus said, if any man come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. When are we going to stop playing church? When are we going to stop just coming together and singing a few songs and preaching a message and saying amen and go home? We need to be changed. Every person in this room tonight should pray this prayer. Lord, take my life and let it be 100%, dear Lord, for Thee. Take all I am and all I own and make it mine and Thine alone. On fire, inflamed, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the world. Let's stand, please, for our prayer.